Hey y'all, welcome to a new episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. It's the podcast that goes behind the scenes of the fantasy football industry through interviews with some of your favorites in the business. For this episode, I sat down with Luke Sawhook of Personal Corner, High Point Sports, and co-host of the podcast Hooked on Fantasy. Additionally, he is the social media manager for the Hudson Valley Renegades, High A affiliate of the New York Yankees. We talked about his college experience at Miami University, how playing Madden with Dez Bryant was a game changer, the origins of the Sawhook name, his dream to be a YouTuber when he was growing up, becoming more confident, and a whole lot more. Make sure you're following Luke on Twitter and TikTok at Luke Sawhook. Follow me on Twitter at TheCaseyKasem and the podcast at GetReal_pod. This podcast is a proud member of the DAP Network. Please check out Sunday Dreamers Club, my fantasy football t-shirt company, at SundayDreamersClub.com. Use code GETREAL at checkout during March 2024 to receive 15% off your order. I just started putting out content with South Harmon FF and with Rotoballer, so make sure you check that out as well. And now, here's my chat with Luke Sawhook on Get Real with Casey Kasem.
About half of your, one of your more recent episodes today.
Okay, cool. Then you know how it goes. So it'll be a fun time, but yeah, so we'll get started and just kind of get into basically when, first of all, I'm talking to Luke Sawhook. And if you don't know who he is, then go check his stuff out, go follow him. But Luke, before we do talk about content creation and all that fun stuff, can you kind of just give me like a background of growing up, how your relationship was with sports? Did you play sports, watch sports, or how was that?
Yeah, totally. So I'm 23. I just turned 23 about a week and a half ago, actually. And I wasn't that big of a sports fan until I was about, 11 or 12 years old, like middle school. Cause I was always, not like too weird of a kid, but I was a little nerdier growing up in like my elementary school days. And I, as my got a little bit older, started having those lunch table sports conversations. That's when I really started to, you know, become more knowledgeable of players and leagues and professional sports more often. I was always a super casual, like, you know, sports fan growing up with like my dad, who's always been a huge sports fan. Also, I will say playing video games really helped increase my knowledge of sports, especially like playing NBA 2K, Madden. Those really helped me gain knowledge of the players, the teams, the leagues, all that kind of good stuff. So that's what really got me into sports growing up. And as far as sports I played growing up, I played soccer until seventh grade. And then after that, I switched over into running. I ran cross country for 3 years until my freshman year of high school. And I quit doing cross country because I decided to get a job at a soft serve ice cream shop in my hometown, and I couldn't do both.
Yeah.
So I cross country, but I still started running track. So I ran indoor track during the winter. And I ran outdoor track during the spring from seventh grade to my senior year in high school.
Awesome. Track. That's what's up. Cause I did that in high school too. So totally.
Oh, really?
Cool.
Yeah. What was your
event? The 100, 200, 4x1, 4x2, and long jump. What was yours?
I would have loved to know what your prime 40 time was.
Yeah, I would too. Because if you look at me now, you'd be like, there's no way that girl was fast.
You probably can still move pretty good. I mean, I believe that anyone who is a runner at any point in their life, like, has it in their DNA forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the DNA test says too. Like, I have the sprinter gene, right? That's what they is. So I'm like, sure, yeah. I can sprint if I love
that. I mean, like, I still, like, I'm pretty out of shape these days, but like anytime I go to the gym, like, I can't help but run. Like, just like, it's a thing I know to like, to train for, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't play football or whatever in high school. It's like, I don't really know any other training regimens. Like, I know how to train for like a cross country race, or like, you know, how to train as a 400 meter runner, stuff like that. You know what I mean? So that's what I always kind of fall into. But yeah, I had a love hate relationship with running, as many do, because the training is horrible. But the camaraderie of the team and like the brotherhood aspect of it was really, really awesome. I really appreciated that over the years. Met a lot of my great friends.
Yeah. I totally feel that. I think that if I didn't find track, then I don't know what would have happened. I just kind of stumbled across it one day of trying to play basketball. And then they were like, you're fast. You should go run track instead. You're not very good at basketball. So that happened. But okay. So did you, when you were growing up, you said you played video games a lot and kind of helped you learn sports and all that stuff. Did you have like a favorite player that you would play, or a team that you would like to use in any of those games?
Oh, man. Honestly, when I was growing up a lot, I didn't play a ton online. I played a lot of my career in NBA 2K, if you're familiar. So, you know, I would create my own player. For those out there listening who aren't familiar, you create your own player and you like, you know, I'll make Luke Stahlhook and I'll like get drafted into the NBA and like have my own little career. That's what I played a lot when I was growing up. And it was really fun. So, you know, like I remember the first team that ever drafted me was the Orlando Magic. So I've always been like a secondary Magic fan because of that. So,
hey, that's awesome.
That's what I always played. You know, it was a good time.
Good time indeed. Okay, so you're from Ohio.
Yep, Cincinnati boy.
Okay. Well, my wife's out there right now. I saw that you're a Miami University alum.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's out there right now at Miami University working with them. So I thought
really?
What's
she doing with them?
She's a consultant. She does like financial systems stuff. I don't know. And so
hopefully she likes it. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it's very much a college town, but it's a beautiful campus.
Yeah. She said it's cold and she had to pack all, like, she's like, I can't believe I have to pack this much stuff.
Well, where are you from?
Yeah. We're right outside of Dallas. We're like 30 minutes north of Dallas.
Oh, well then, yeah, that's definitely very cold. Texas doesn't get that cold.
No, not usually now, but so that's cool that you are, you know, that you went to Miami University. And don't be fooled, guys. It's not in Miami, Florida. It's actually,
for the record, it was founded before the one in Florida, 1809. Okay, guys, that's why it's not, the one in Florida is not called Miami University for that reason. All right. We have the original name. Doesn't mean we're better at sports, but we were the original, for the record.
Well, that, you know, yep, you're the original. And you are also it's so awesome to see somebody so young doing so much in the space, which we'll get to. But the college experience, like, how was that for you? And how did sports play a role in it at all? Did you watch, you know, while you were in college? I don't know. Did you graduate already? I don't really know anything. Okay, there you go. I know that a few years back I was watching something that you were talking about how you were still in school. So makes sense that you would have graduated.
Right.
But how was that experience for you?
It was different than I think a lot of other college kids' experiences. I spent a lot of time working, honestly. I'm not a big partier. Like, I, you know, I'm cool to drink or whatever, but I'm not like a huge fan of like going out to like the bars where like you go like dance and like all that kind of stuff. It's just not really for me. So I spent a lot of time just like hanging out with my roommate, who's my best friend from high school and middle school, who I've known my entire life. We lived together all 4 years of college. I spent a lot of time working on my social media management skills, a lot of industry work. It was sports and sports media and the industry and like everything I do as a content creator, a lot of it, the foundation, everything was all throughout college. You know, like I've only been out of college for less than a year now. I graduated in May of 2023. But for without college, I wouldn't have probably ever really entered the industry, quote unquote. There's no video, but I'm doing like the air quotes. The way it all started was I joined a fantasy football club on campus at Miami University my freshman year. Shout out to the Fantasy Footballers podcast, by the way. Andy, Mike, and Jason, they're the best. They're the reason I became obsessed with fantasy football. I was a super casual player in high school, and their podcast made me a lot more into it than I was on that higher level. And then from there, I joined that club my freshman year of college. Then the executive seats in the club became available, and I got elected president my freshman year, which was super sick. I'm very proud of that. And then over the summer of 2020, I was bored at home during COVID, like everyone was.
Yep.
And I found out that there was a club Twitter account that hadn't really been used since like 2018. So I kind of hopped on there and started posting fantasy football content. It wasn't good. I was kind of annoying. Sorry if anyone out there listening does this, or even if you do it, Casey. But I would ask people questions on polls. And I would tag like 20 different accounts below it to try to get people's attention just for engagement boost. I don't do that anymore. But that's what I started doing, like just putting stuff out there. And then from there, I made a connection with Eric at EK Baller on Twitter. I think he's still out there doing stuff. He was with Dynasty Nerds at the time. I don't know if he still is, but he was with Dynasty Nerds at the time. And I made a connection with him from this nameless, faceless Miami University Fantasy Football Club account. And asked if they wanted a social media intern. And they said, maybe. I don't know. And then Garrett Price from Dynasty Nerds, still there. He actually announced today, as of this recording, that he's going full-time with them. So congratulations
to
you.
You're the best. Congratulations.
It's huge. But he reached out to me, asked me a few questions about my experience, what I've done, blah, blah, blah. and they gave me my first position in the industry. I was in social media internship. I was running the Dynasty Nerds social media pages. And honestly, I take a lot of pride in the work I did with them. I stayed with them for a bit over 2 years, and it really got me my start in the industry. I saw they had a need for more content. You know, during the NFL season, they were really only posting links to articles, and they had a really strong following base of about 22,000 followers at the time, just because they have a great podcast and all the, you know, the Nerd Herd is a strong fan base in the industry. So I wanted to get on board there. I started just posting engaging content, highlights, video stuff, pictures, asking questions to the community. And we saw really good growth, about 16,000 followers over my 2 years there. And when I announced my position with Dynasty Nerds on my personal Twitter account that had like 300 followers at the time, I just used to retweet stuff I thought that was funny or talk to my high school friends. I started to get a little bit of interaction from industry people, my job announcement. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I discovered the fantasy community, right? And then from there, I started posting my content I was doing on the Miami one on my personal. And that's kind of how it all started. And I just kept parlaying that experience with Dynasty Nerds into different companies in the industry and kept climbing and making my own personal content. And that's kind of how it all started.
That's great to hear. Like, I love to hear your story because I saw you come into the space and like all of a sudden it seems like to me, but probably not to you, that like overnight you were like, boom, you know, it was like all of a sudden I was like, that's dope. So it was really cool to see that. But how did you even, I know you were talking about joining fantasy and all of that, but how did you start playing fantasy football?
It's a great question. I honestly don't really remember. I feel like I kind of did it super casually with my dad. Like back, I'm pretty sure the first league I ever played in was one where it was literally just me, my mom, my sister, and my dad. And it was just the four of us. And we all had these like insanely, absurdly loaded rosters. Like, I don't even remember if I did any transactions in the league. Like, this is when I was probably in, like, I don't know, my freshman year of high school, like a long, long time ago. And that kind of got me into it. And then from there, you know, I played with some buddies from, like, cross country. I played with some buddies from school. Played with my dad, my family league with, like, my cousins and aunts and uncles. That was kind of how I got, you know, dipped my toes into the water. And I'm just a really competitive person by nature, you know, sports and whatnot. So I wanted to get better and learn more, and I started to become obsessed with it. So that's when I found the Fantasy Footballers podcast. I just searched up fantasy football and the podcast thing, and I found the Ballers. And from there, it's that's kind of how I got into it.
And you kind of, well, you actually went into how you've started putting out content and everything. When you first put out content, had you done anything like that before? And then, like, what were you thinking going into that whole process?
Yeah, not really. I've always, my generation's kind of weird. Like, we grew up with YouTube and different content creators and stuff, you know, as I've gotten older. So I've always kind of had this dream to be like a YouTuber or like podcaster, content creator, live streamer, whatever it is. So it goes back to when I was in like seventh grade. I asked for, it's right here. There's no video, obviously, but I was showing you. I asked for this microphone.
Alrighty.
Blue Yeti microphone. It doesn't work anymore. I actually am waiting on a cable for my new one. So I don't have a mic on this episode. So apologies to your listeners' ears. But I got that microphone and a capture card. If you're not familiar, it captures the video game feed. And I uploaded really, really low quality Call of Duty Advanced Warfare YouTube videos in like seventh and eighth grade. They have been burned from the internet, for the record. no, you don't want to watch them. They're not even that. It was just me talking to myself playing Call of Duty, basically. But the dream and the passion's always been there, to create content for people. And I kind of knew before I started getting into the fantasy space, I had an interest in social media marketing and social media management. So I kind of had a toe in the water of that world already, to a certain extent, of like, I'm on the internet all the time. I love, you know, YouTube. I was on Twitter a lot. Social media in general, I had a good knowledge of, but I'd never really dove into the sports world of making content at all. It's just kind of having that passion for debating. I feel like that's a lot of it, honestly. It's like, again, goes back to like those lunch table debates with your friends in like middle school and high school. You know what I mean? People will say some absurd shit during lunchtime, and just going in there and countering their arguments and having stats to back it up and saying, oh no, you know, whatever. That's what Twitter is at the end of the day. It's sort of a lot of outside of like, you know, the lovey-dovey community stuff. It's a lot of, you know, standing on your points and, you know, debating people in an intellectual manner and stuff like that. And I really enjoy the conversation. I love the NFL. I really fell in love with it over the years, and especially fantasy. Doing fantasy football has changed the way that fans view the league. I strongly believe it. You know, you fall in love with players instead of teams. And that really just made me fall in love with the game even more. Playing Madden again, too, learning all the players in the league. Yeah, I mean, that's how I really got started, just diving into that world. Just I've always kind of wanted to do creating content creation, be like a YouTuber, like I mentioned, but I kind of just dove into that world head first, and it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it, and it sounds like you have been on this awesome path, and now you are where you are, and we'll get into that. But when you were putting out content, or when you put out content and you start putting content out at other places and you're, you know, doing all of that, does it ever get to be a period of time where you burn out, or is there ever been a period of time where you felt like maybe I just need to take a break? I know a lot of people that listen to this podcast want to put out content and they're concerned about stuff like that. So have you ever dealt with any of those experiences?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I've never got burnt out to the point where I think I need to take a break, like entirely, like log off of the internet for a while. I honestly kind of feel like, this might sound sad, I feel like I've reached a point where I can't anymore. Not even for my personal account, but like I do it from like, it's my job. Like it's my full-time job, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. But like social media and staying on top of sports, like that is like what I do every single day. Like I don't think I'm going to stop doing that anytime soon. I love it. I love, again, to speak to like my, how I got started in it. One of the reasons I really fell in love with Twitter specifically is it's where all the sports news breaks first. Mm-hmm. I'm a psychopath. I have Twitter notifications on for like 300 accounts. My phone goes off constantly. I've always loved getting the information first. And that's what really made me fall in love with Twitter. So yeah, I've never really wanted to take a break. There definitely been points in time in my career though, where I've always kind of had a chip on my shoulder. I think a lot of that's from being young in the industry, honestly. But I do think I always feel like I have a point to prove that I belong and that I can do it at a high level. So I feel like, especially when I was really like coming up, not that I'm not anymore, you know, whatever. That sounds corny to me sometimes, but you know, like when I was like really starting to like grow from like, you know, trying to get over the hump of like 10,000 followers, for example, let's say, which I felt that was like a big milestone at the time. Was I was taking on too many opportunities to the point where I had like five different things going on with different companies. And it was just way too much to the point where I couldn't commit myself all the way to all of them. And it's something I still kind of struggle with. I feel like I get a lot of really cool potential opportunities that come my way sometimes that I want to say yes to everything, but I've really learned to say no, and step away from things I can't give my full attention, because it's not a good look to, you know, like half-ass your way through stuff. You know what I mean? So that's definitely a journey I've gone on. And I feel like a thing with me in general in life is sometimes I feel guilty when I'm not doing something. You know, like I have a hard time, especially with social media. Like sometimes there are days where I just want to unplug and just do nothing. Mm-hmm. But I feel obligated to like post sometimes. And I feel like I have to, or else I feel like I'm doing nothing with my day. Or like when I have a, it's kind of that same feeling that a lot of people get, including myself, where you have like a giant to-do list. And when you have a giant to-do list, you can't give yourself the privilege to relax, or else it feels like you're like wasting your time completely. Yeah. I have that problem a lot.
No, I feel you on that. I keep making lists of things I need to do, and it just gives me more anxiety to know that I have so much stuff to do. So I just take a break for a second, just go get some fresh air, you know, and then come back to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've had a problem with that a lot. I will say I've tried to make the most of my time to work though. Like I've really been in a let's go and get it mindset, because at this point in my life, I just turned 23. I don't have a lot of responsibility at this point in my life. I live out in New York. I have a roommate, but he's just my coworker. Like I'm basically living by myself. You know, my girlfriend and my family members and all my childhood friends are all back in Cincinnati. I live in upstate New York right now. So like I have a lot of time to dedicate to my work and pour a lot of heart and soul and, you know, energy into my work. So while I do want to like rest and take the time to relax, like right now is a great time in my opinion to kind of reset a little bit as a content creator. And I've been trying to do that, but God, is it hard to, I always have an itch to scratch and I always want to come up with really fun things to do. But yes, to your question, I definitely have issues with that at times. But never to the point where I really get too down and out about it. I always just try to remember why I'm doing it. It's because I really love creating and engaging with an audience. And it's what I always want to do. You know what I mean? I feel like something with my content too that keeps me going is I've really cross-branded my life with my content. I'm not just like someone who comes on and be like, oh, okay, here are my rankings, here are my bets for the day, like, bye. You know, I post like what I eat for breakfast, dude. Like I post everything. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of keeps me going and keeps me refreshed to know, like, even if I don't have hard content to put out, I have just my life and my audience is, I'm thankful enough at this point, like they'll engage with it. So yeah. That feels good.
Yeah, I know it feels good to have some people, you know, reach out to you and say that they enjoy your content and know that you have a group of people that support you. Is it's kind of insane to think about, you know, like, wow.
It's crazy. It's really yeah. It's been really nice. Especially like the thing that I've really appreciated is like, you know, sometimes when you're having a bad day or whatever, and you post something online, like I was just kind of getting like angry the other day. Just feeling like reflecting on my life and some friendships I have and relationships and just be like, man, like I've always been a people pleaser my entire life. And it's really difficult sometimes to let people not like take advantage of you and like know your worth and stand up for yourself. And I've got a lot more confident from my time on Twitter and, you know, realizing that people, you know, value me and stuff. And it's been really helpful for me. So I was really like just frustrated. It's like, I put out a post the other day saying like, oh, like I know my self-worth. I'm not going to, you know, let people take advantage of me anymore. And immediately I got like 4 DMs from people being like, are you okay? Like what's going on? And like, it was just so nice to like, know, like, I was fine.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to know that people were there and like genuinely care. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Like I was posting some stuff earlier because I'm full of anxiety and, you know, trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life and put out content and do all that. Cause I really want to do this full time. But it, you know, at the back of your mind, you're always like, you know, it could be like that, but having people reach out and be like, hey, here's my story. Or, hey, you know, like you've got this or whatever. It just feels nice to have that kind of community. And You brought up, you know, your personal Twitter account and then like, just in 2020, like with the COVID and everything, that, I mean, that did change the whole entire game for content creating when it came to fantasy football. So when you first immersed yourself in this world on Twitter, for instance, because I know that's where a lot of the content creators hang out. what was your first initial thought when you saw that there was this community like that on Twitter?
Oh, wow. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was really cool to be able to like develop relationships with people. I feel like the thing I like about Twitter a lot compared to different platforms is that it goes outside of the reach of your followers and who you follow. So you get to meet and interact with a lot of really cool people. I just really enjoyed integrating myself in it and finding conversations to have with people. You know what I mean? Like I thought it was really cool to, especially as a creator, grow alongside other people. Like, I remember at first, like some of the first creators I met were Dave Kluge, Troy King, Steffi Smalls, and a few other people. But, like I really remember those three or four, however many I just said. Like just watching all, it sounds corny, but like watching like all of our follower accounts go up at the same time, it was just like really cool to like, you know, like come up with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just was really special. Like I always have like a special place in my heart for that time period of 2020 where I was like, I really didn't know what I wanted to be in the space or like what I was doing and just kind of just throwing everything at the wall. I still do that to a certain extent.
But, yeah. Sometimes you have to.
Yeah, I know. And I kind of love that, you know, you have to experiment and see what sticks, but just, I feel like the space was a lot more wholesome back then. And maybe that's just, you know, hindsight goggles, but I feel like it was because it was so new and not as established. But yeah, it was a really good time back then. It was awesome just to join the community and see that there were so many people out there talking about the same things, doing the same things, and all moving towards the same goals. And then obviously the community of just people who engage with content and consume. It's also super wholesome. Like I'll never forget the first times I got DMs saying like, oh, I love your content. Like, thank you so much for your advice. You know, like the first time people ever trusted me with like trade advice or stuff like that, it was just, it's so wholesome. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's just like mind blowing. It's just so cool to have people ask you that. Like you value my opinion. That's super dope. So being young in this industry, because there have been, you know, there are people in this industry that have been around forever. And you said you're 23. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
We share a birthday, so that's pretty dope. Hey, so yeah, being young in this space, it's super awesome to see people like you or Hutchinson Brown and all the these. Best. Yeah. Yeah. And I know you guys are podcasting together and we'll get into that, but being, because I'm 40, so like, I don't really know, being 23 and putting out content, I'm sure is a lot different for you than, you know, people back in the day that didn't get to, you know, have apps to set their lineups or do any of that stuff. But has it been a struggle, the age thing? I know you brought it up, but has it died off any since you first started, now that you're getting older?
Yeah, I don't even think it's because I'm getting older. I think it's because I have a bit more respect now because I've been around. It definitely was bad back when I was first getting started. Like 2021, I think definitely was like the worst year for it. Shout out to Matthew Berry, by the way. He came to my defense one time. And that's what my banner is on Twitter, is him coming to my defense. Awesome. Him saying full support of Luke, who worked his ass off. And then I think he said something else or whatever, but shout out to Matthew. He's a legend in the industry. But yeah, I mean, it was difficult. It still happens sometimes, you know, because I would say the average age of the community is older than me, and that's totally cool. But you know, it definitely comes up from time to time. It's mostly from trolls, right? It only really hurts when people you respect. That's when it hurts the most, but it can be overwhelming at times for sure. It's died down a lot as far as the hate from people about like, oh, I don't respect your opinion because you're young. It still happens pretty often, but I've, you know, grown thicker skin to it. You know, I don't really care anymore. I feel like I've established myself to the point where people who I care about my work or my peers value me more. So that's really cool. The one thing I will say though, Casey, and I just want to be honest, because like, I think about it all the time, is like, I do really feel sometimes I don't get opportunities that I deserve because I'm younger. I really feel that way. You know what I mean? And like, I'm not bitter about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, people say all the time, comparison is the thief of joy. And I really believe that. And I strive to follow that motto more. But sometimes I feel like I'm a little like blackballed because of my age to a certain extent, right? Like, not fully. Obviously, I've had a lot of amazing opportunities in the industry and I'm very, very thankful. But I feel like to a certain extent from like what I've done, my track record, my resume, I feel like if I was a bit older, you know what I mean? Like, let's say I was 35, I feel like I could be full-time in the industry already. You know what I mean? Like, just being honest, and I apologize if that comes off as egotistical or rude or anything like that, but I feel that way sometimes, just being honest with you. I never put that out there publicly. But that's the thing I've struggled with sometimes, is I feel like I sometimes, when I've been a free agent, I feel like I've had a really hard time getting good opportunities. Like before I landed with where I'm at now with Personal Corner and High Point, which has been a great opportunity for me, I really, really had a hard time finding anything good. The last time I was a free agent in 2023, and I was pretty established at that time. You know, I was getting offers for, again, do not mean to offend anyone with what I'm about to say here. I'm a larger account. I know followers don't mean everything, but you know, I was getting offers of like $5 an article. And I just feel like at this point in my career, it was a bit offensive. You know what I mean? And I couldn't help but feel a little slighted because of my age and my, you know, inexperience. So that's been a difficult challenge for me, for sure. I feel like it's probably been one of the more difficult things I've had to face in the industry. And like I said, it does put a bit of a chip on my shoulder sometimes, even if, you know, people don't outright say it, it kind of feels that way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I try my absolute hardest just to be like a positive figure in the community, put out only like, you know, nice things in my content. And it's been hard. It's been hard for sure. But overall, I feel very positive about my experience in the community still. And I'm not bitter. I'm not, you know, I don't get down about it. I love what I do. I love where I'm at. I'm very, very, very happy with everything going on. But yeah, I mean, being honest, you know, I think about it a lot for sure.
Well, you did bring up what you're doing now with Personal Corner and High Point. Can you kind of tell me and the listeners, can you tell us all a little backstory on how that came about and what that even is? Because not everybody knows what those places are.
Yeah, absolutely. So Personal Corner is kind of an umbrella for all the arms that Dez Bryant's company operates under. I started working with Dez in 2023. I played him in Madden in 2022. And he happened to follow me back on Twitter, and that kind of just opened the door. And I remember, I think it was National Intern Day or something like that. He was giving love to now my teammate Bryce, who's an intern with Personal Corner. And I saw him showing him love, And I DM'd him and I was just like, hey, you know, I'm Luke Sawhook. I'm 22 years old. I go to Miami University. I'm about to graduate with a degree for essentially social media marketing. These are some of the experiences I have. I think it'd be great to work with you. I see your company, Personal Corner. I think you guys could use a bigger social media presence, a stronger NFL fantasy football content presence. Because I knew he was trying to kind of lean into that space. And that's kind of how we clicked and jumped on a call. And from there, it seriously has been a pleasure. You know what I mean? To work with him in the company. They've really treated me better than anyone I've ever worked with. Seriously. Like they, like I mentioned the age thing, Dez personally has told me, you know, like, we don't care if you're 40. We don't care if you're, you know, 18. We see the work you do and, you know, your potential. And we you know, we want you to do what you can do now. And I think I've ran into, Casey, in the industry is I do two things. I'm a fantasy football content creator. I can write, I can do podcasts, I can do shows, TikToks, whatever. But I also am a social media manager, right? And a lot of the opportunities I've gotten in the industry that have been paid, that have been good opportunities, have been for social media management and social media marketing. And that's totally okay. You know, I'm fine to do that. You know, it's something I love to do. It's my best skill, I would say, is social media management and marketing, digital marketing. But what I've really, really, really appreciated with working with Personal Corner, and shout out to Dez, shout out to Kevin, shout out to Eileen, Steady, everybody over there. They really, really value me as a total package. And that's been so nice. Just be able to, they don't put me in one lane. They let me touch a lot of things and they really believe in me. And it's been great to feel so supported by them. And it feels like a really welcoming environment to work in. And it's been a pleasure. It really has been a pleasure.
Yeah. It's great when you find a space like that, that lets you be yourself and props you up and tells you, you know, that they respect what you're doing. So that's super rad to hear. And I know that there's a lot of things that come with just working with Dez and all of that. I know that the big Dallas tailgate was a thing that you attended. I watched that video. I know you said at the end that only your mom and your wife were going to listen, but hey, I listened. I watched.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It was cool because I was like, hey, that's DFW Airport. Hey, that's Newark Airport. Yeah. I was just there, like all this stuff. So I was like, hey, Luke, taking us on a journey. But what was that experience like? Because it looked super dope just watching the video, but how was the experience in person?
Yeah, it's awesome. So I didn't answer your full question a second ago. I actually remembered. You asked me what Personal Corner and High Point did.
Yeah. Let's go there. And
yeah, Big Dallas Tailgate's a part of Personal Corner. That is Dez Bryant's tailgate. You know, we do that in Dallas, and we did it at Texas Live to finish the year. And you know, basically it's, you know, $10 to get in the door to Texas Live, and then from there you're welcome to come out to the tailgate. It's a lot of fun. We have amazing DJs and hosts. Shout out to Bebe, local radio DJ, who comes out and hosts it. He does an amazing job. Dez comes through, does autograph signings, meet and greets, and he brings through his, you know, his friends, celebrity friends, and big time athletes like Trayvon Diggs came by and did a, you know, an autograph meet and greet and stuff. I was in there in the building for the one you watched, was the Philly Dallas game, and it was electric in there. It was a lot. It was so much fun. That has been a huge success for Personal Corner.
Yeah.
And that's going to be amazing in 2024. Really, really excited about that. But other things that Personal Corner does, again, kind of just touches everything the company is doing. There's a lot of stuff we're working on behind the scenes that I don't know how much I can share, but High Point Sports, High Point Fantasy, that is going to be fantasy football focused, you know, NFL fantasy football content right now. We're developing a game behind the scenes for fantasy football and, you know, fantasy sports. And that's going to be really, really awesome. I'm very excited about where we're at with that. I think it's going to be really, really cool. Again, the whole thing with Personal Corner and High Point, the whole mission is to bring athletes and fans together. And, you know, with Dez, he has a ton of amazing relationships to former NFL and current NFL athletes. So using those connections to give experiences that people can't get by playing other fantasy football games, you know, exclusive rewards, experiences, et cetera. I can't give away too much, but that's basically the high level view of what the High Point game will be and what High Point Sports is, you know, the Twitter account, the content we've been making over there. All of that has been just, you know, to create brand awareness for what High Point is. You know, we're a company that makes fantasy sports content, fantasy football content, NFL content, and eventually the game's going to come and that'll be the meat and potatoes over there. You know, but we have a lot of fun stuff coming over soon. The Dez Bryant Show will be launching, which will be his like kind of podcast, which will be really, really sweet. All kinds of other stuff that's going to be going on with them. But that's kind of the main thing. Personal Corner is kind of touches all the things that is going on. High Point's a big one. Dez's Big Dallas Tailgate is huge for us. And then all of that kind of good stuff. There's a lot of athlete empowerment, kind of things, you know, making athletes more financially literate, all that kind of good stuff. Youth athletic camps. So that's kind of what they do. But the Big Dallas Tailgate, sorry, to get back to the point.
No, I'm sorry. I was like, I got to tell this before I forget about it.
It was amazing. It was so fun. The experience was incredible. It's so fun to be there and be able to get, you know, like the full experience, get to hang out with Dez and his crew and be able to go to the suite for the game was amazing. Big thank you to Dez and Kevin for that opportunity. Just to be there was so special. The team is really doing a great job with those tailgates, especially you, Kevin. I know you're listening to this. You're doing amazing, dude. Appreciate you. Grinding so hard, man. You're running around like a chicken with your head cut off all the time at those things. But it's a really great experience. Seriously, if anyone's in Dallas next year, I think we'll be taking it on the road more next season. If you guys want to come out to that, let me know. It'll be amazing. It'll be so much fun. So that's, yeah, it's an electric environment. That's all I can really say.
Man, yeah. I got jealous because I am in the Dallas area and I was like, I couldn't go when, you know, I found out about it and everything. And it was like,
Hey y'all, Casey Kasem here. I just started a fantasy football-inspired clothing shop called Sunday Dreamers Club. Check out sundaydreamersclub.com to find shirts that show your love for the great game of fantasy football. Listeners of the show are in luck. If you go to sundaydreamersclub.com and use the code GETREAL, you'll score 15% off your order. Please check it out because this is another way you can help out the show. And me. As you know, I'm now trying to do this content creation thing full-time, so you checking this out really helps me out. Thanks, y'all.
But yeah, seeing Dez, seeing other players in embrace fantasy football is kind of interesting because it seems like that for so long it's been like, no, we don't like fantasy football, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So yeah, how does that feel to be able to work with players who actually care about fantasy
football? It's really cool. It's really, really cool because they feel the love from the community. You know what I mean? And I think that Dez really wants to be a part of the community and what it's doing. Because I think, and a part of that too is, with the athletes, they don't really understand the value of what the community brings, right? Like, they don't understand, like, hey, guys, these are your most hardcore fans, like, right here. Like, these people care about you. You know, I'm a Steelers fan, you know, right behind me. But my favorite player in the NFL is Amon-Ra St. Brown because of fantasy football. You know what I mean? Just getting that love for the athlete is huge. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's the thing we're really trying to tap into here. It's a market that is starving for these players to care about them. You know what I mean? And it's again just recognizing the love from people and seeing it and being like, hey, let's talk football, let's talk fantasy football, you know, we love it. So it, again, it's been really cool to be with somebody who's, you know, on the forefront of that and recognizes, you know, community folks like myself to, you know, be a part of what's going on with him outside of it too, for these, you know, tailgate events and NFL events. But fantasy football is a core part of what they're trying to accomplish. You know what I mean? So It's been really cool to be a part of that culture and see it change with the athletes that we've been working with. You know, hearing him pitch to athletes like Trayvon Diggs, who's, you know, fully on board, to be able to, you know, see that switch flip is really cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, hey, these are your hardcore fans. Go show them love. Is really, really sweet.
Yeah, and personal corner high point out at the expo, the Fantasy Football Expo, was really rad to see that, to see Dez playing the flag football and having.
Sad I wasn't there. I'm so sad. I was gonna be on the team, Casey. I couldn't go. I was gonna wear a ring.
I didn't want to bring up some sad memories, but yeah, I didn't get to actually watch the football game, but I did go to the panel that they had, and that was super dope to have, you know, asking questions, and we were actually getting to ask the questions to Dez, and for him to be like, hey, you know, I really appreciate you guys being here, listening and coming out here for the product, for the brand. And that was super dope to see. Yeah. So are they planning on making an appearance again this year, or do we know?
I'm not sure yet. It's still pretty far out. I think we have a lot of our attention focused on the draft and the combine right now. Mm-hmm. But hopefully it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I know I would love to go. I would love to go again. I haven't been since 2022. So I think it'd be a blast for sure.
You should definitely come out again. And yeah, if they do come, I know that sitting down and actually listening to them explain the product and explain the game and explain everything was just so helpful, because, you know, just to see another product come out where they actually care about the fan and they actually care about us as players. And my wife was with me and she was even like, wow, that is such a cool idea and all this stuff. So it was cool that even people that aren't like really into fantasy football are still thinking it's pretty cool. So
I love that. Yeah. That's great to hear. I appreciate that. But also, you know, like you mentioned, it's cool for like the fans and stuff. That's why I really appreciate being on the inside. You know what I mean? Like Dez really values you know, my insights and my feedback, and he really cares what I have to say. And that's been super empowering. It just as a fantasy player, like I mentioned with the game, you know, for them to have me on calls or, you know, emails and calls and messaging with the development team for the game and give key notes of what, hey, this is a fantasy football game. This is what it should have, you know, stuff like that. It's been super empowering for me as an employee and as a fantasy football player and analyst and content creator and fan to be a part of that process. It's been really cool. It's been really sweet. Our team is still really, really small, but it's been super amazing, the experiences I've been given so far.
And when you put out content, because there's so much content out there and it's all, sometimes it seems like a lot, but when you put out content, how do you come up with the ideas of what you're going to put out? Or because you said you have all these ideas, how do you come up with all that stuff?
It's a great idea or a great question. Are you talking about like my personal or my professional accounts?
For the, like, let's just say for personal and professional, like how does okay. that work?
Well, oh. I will say sometimes it is kind of hard to decide what you want to post on what, you know, like if I have like a banger idea, it's like, all right, do I give this one to the company or do I take it for myself? You know what I mean? But a lot of it during the NFL season is memes, as dumb as it sounds, you know what I mean? But, you know, live tweeting those games, fun moments, you know, if somebody drops a pass, you know, you post a meme about, you know, like the gif of the girl like dropping the ball or something, you know, just for an example. You know, just I feel like a lot of what I have just kind of comes to me in the moment, honestly, for my personal. You know, like today I was just thinking about like, I really like DJ Moore. And then I posted about how DJ Moore is like underpriced in Dynasty right now, and I've been buying him on my Dynasty teams. And, you know, no matter what happens with him at quarterback this year with Fields or Williams, I think it's still good long-term for his trajectory in fantasy football. Stuff like that. You know, if I think of a player, I'll think of a take and just fire it out. For the company, I like to have more of a content calendar. Like right now, you know, it's Black History Month. So we have a bit of a campaign going on right now, honoring different eras of Black quarterbacks, you know, a position that has such a spotlight on them for the Black man to go out there and perform at the highest level, you know, highlight some of these amazing performers like Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, Randall Cunningham, to Patrick Mahomes, modern day Lamar Jackson, all these guys who are going out there and doing it at the highest level, just giving them some love. So thinking farther out for some campaigns like that professionally is always the way I've liked to operate and do things, while also kind of staying light on my feet to hit the trends and do the memes and stuff of the moment. That's kind of how I like to do social media. And that's, I do that a lot in my day job as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about your day job a little bit because, it's a super rad. Well, at least when I read it, I'm like social media manager for the Hudson Valley Renegades. So for people who don't know, that's the high A affiliate of the New York Yankees. So how did that come about?
So, I appreciate that, by the way, for saying it's cool. So in 2022, I was looking for an internship for college. I was in my junior year, or the gap between my junior and senior year that summer. I missed a lot of time on campus because of COVID. My freshman year got cut short because of COVID in March, April, and May. And I also got back to campus a month late, starting the year after that, my sophomore year. So I didn't want to miss any more time on campus for an internship, you know, miss any time in the fall or the spring for any sports teams. So I really narrowed my search down to minor league baseball and MLB. But MLB internships are damn near impossible to get, in case anyone didn't know. Like, they get thousands of applicants, and there's only one position. So good luck. So I found the internship with the Hudson Valley Renegades as a social media marketing intern. And I went out there for where I live currently, up in upstate New York, and by Poughkeepsie, about half an hour away from Poughkeepsie, New York, if anyone knows where that is. I live in Beacon, New York, right by Fishkill, where the stadium is located, 3 minutes down the road from the stadium. So I worked out there as the intern from May to August over the summer between my junior and senior year, full time. It was an amazing experience. And then after I went back to school, I was in the fall of my senior year, my first semester back. And then it turns out my boss, in the position that I'm in currently, decided to leave the team to pursue other opportunities. So the job became open. And I applied in January, mid to late January. And I started this job in about February 5th last year. And they were kind enough to let me finish out my school remote. My school in person and work remote full time from February until May. And I graduated on a Sunday and then moved out to New York on a Monday. And I jumped right in the fire. And I've been out here since.
Wow. That is, wow. When I was 23, I was a hot mess. So it's really encouraging and awesome.
I still am a hot mess. I waited like a month to do my laundry yesterday. Like,
well, it's still, you know, maybe I'm in that mindset where I'm like, these young kids out here nowadays, but to see like,
hey, that's okay. I'm an idiot. You know, tell me.
No, I think that it's amazing that you were able to do that and have that opportunity come to you, because Yeah, I went to college and I don't use my degree. And I, you know, kind of look back and I see 23-year-olds like you who are doing things that you love with your degree. And that's awesome to see.
Thank you. So also, don't be hard on yourself. Come on now. You're successful.
Well, I am successful. That's correct. But this, just to see like somebody so young do what you're doing is pretty dope. And to have like Matthew Berry standing up for you and to have people who like respect you that are big names in sports figures and all that stuff. So that's really cool to see. And with, but let's go back to the social media management part of that. Are you a, I know we talked about sports a little bit, but do you know a lot about baseball or did you know a lot about baseball going into working with them?
Yeah, I've been a pretty casual fan of baseball my entire life. You know, MLB. I actually am a Yankees fan, even though I'm from Cincinnati. My dad grew up a Yankees fan and, you know, inherited it through the old family tree. So it was pretty cool to, you know, go to a Yankees affiliate. I've learned a lot about the minor leagues. I had a decent, you know, amount of knowledge about baseball in general, about, you know, the MLB, all that kind of good stuff. But I didn't really have the best knowledge of, like, you know, advanced statistics. And then along with that, you know, minor leagues. I didn't really know high A existed, to be honest with you. I don't know if you did before you looked it up. Did you?
I don't know. Honestly, I definitely
didn't. When I thought about minor league baseball, I was like, oh yeah, you know, there's like double A and triple A, and then you're in the big leagues.
You know, I do like, know about it, but just because one of the guys on the radio was in some league, one of the leages way back in the day. Gotcha. So that's how I when you said it, I was like, I don't know. Oh yeah, yeah, he did. So
yeah. Well, for folks who aren't familiar out there, like I wasn't until I got this job. You know, there's a ton of level to the minor leagues, but the big levels, the big four, as I like to call them sometimes, the people are familiar with are, you know, there's 120 affiliated minor league baseball teams, four for each team, 30 teams, pretty simple math, right? So there's low A, then there's high A, double A, triple A, major league baseball, right? So, you know, once you get to triple A, you can kind of bounce up and down between triple A and the big leagues, but those guys who are younger, you have to come up through the ranks. Sometimes people will start higher depending on how long they were in college or how raw they are, you know, how skilled they are, how old they are, all that kind of good stuff. But high A kind of represents, you know, the halfway point to getting to the major leagues. So it's pretty cool. You know, we get some top prospects in and out, and it's been pretty sweet. You know, the top prospects have usually made it to the Yankees. I've only been here for like two seasons, but and what I've seen, these top prospects have made it about a year after they've been in Hudson Valley. So it's been really cool to see some of the guys I saw as an intern in 2022 make it to the Yankees, and now they're on the team, and it's been really sweet. It's been really cool to be a part of their journey and get to know the guys, and you know, have the guys on the team know who I am and say what's up to them, and you know, get to watch batting practice from the field every day. It's a really cool job. I really, really love it. The hours are pretty intense during the summer, especially during July and August as a fantasy football content creator. It is insanity, but I love it. It's a lot of fun. I just love working in sports. I really feed off the energy of being at the games. And something I really appreciate about my job is I have to watch the games. You know what I mean? So I really get to enjoy the night and live tweet the game. That's pretty much my job during the games. You know, I put out the starting lineup graphic. I put out the final score graphic. I live tweet the game. And that's pretty much it. You know, it's a blast. I love it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I know baseball is really awesome to watch in person. I love watching baseball in person.
Totally agree with you. I think that it's the quality of watching baseball on the TV versus the in-person is drastically different. I think in-person baseball is so much better.
Yeah. The whole feeling of being there and the environment is super dope.
It's a summer vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it has summer on lock. It really does.
It really does. Yes, yes. Okay, so podcasting is a thing that, you know, it continues to grow. And there's tons of podcasts out there and it's continuing. But you do that, you podcast. Had you ever had experience podcasting? I know you were talking about how you wanted to be a YouTuber, you wanted to be a podcaster. But before you jumped into actually podcasting, had you ever done anything like that before?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, I've always been a talker. You know, I'm always a natural extrovert. You know, with me, like, the way I act right now is like pretty much how you get me. Like, I'm always pretty upbeat, extroverted for the most part. So putting me in front of a camera and having me talk is, you know, totally cool with me. You know what I mean? It's all good. Yeah. So obviously I've gotten a lot better with it with experience. I'm still far off from the level that you're at. You know, your setup is a lot better than mine. Your audio stuff's great. You have a super high quality intro for your show. Stuff like that is like, there's levels to this show. You know what I mean?
There are levels.
I'm getting better with time, but yeah, I never really had experience doing. I've kind of bounced around doing solo shows, collabing with people, whatever. But what I'm doing right now with Hutch, I'm pretty proud of. The show is getting better every time we do it. In my opinion, we keep them short, 20-minute episodes. We're two young guys in the industry. I feel like we have a lot of chemistry together. We've known each other for a few years now, and I love the kid. So, yeah. Go check it out. It's Hooked on Fantasy. It's a lot of fun. We're actually recording live tonight at 9 o'clock. I know it's not going to be out by the time this is, I'm talking about this, but every Wednesday night we go live.
That's dope. I love it. I love live shows, and I know I don't do one, but I love just to be
able
to.
There's a lot of advantages to doing it pre-recorded, though, I will say. The production quality gets a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that might be my my thing is like, oh, man. But putting out content with Hutch, putting out a podcast and doing all of that, how did that idea come about? And doing a solo podcast versus doing a podcast with a second host, what's the difference there?
Yeah, I think it's just personal preference. I know a lot of creators like doing the solo shows. For me, it's just tough because I think I have a hard time doing long shows, even like 20 minutes just by myself. Because I feel like it's hard to not have anyone to bounce your debates off of. It's hard to be the angel and the devil on your shoulder at the same time, is the way I like to think about it sometimes. You know what I mean? It's really nice to have somebody to have a natural conversation flow. It also is really tiring to talk for like 20 minutes straight in an entertaining manner. You know what I mean? It's a lot. I can do it. But it's also good to stay motivated, to keep consistent uploads, to have a co-host. And I think Hutch was the perfect one for me. You know, I was doing my solo show at the time, Hooked on Fantasy, just by myself. And Hutch was doing his show by himself, and he was killing it, doing a great job. I gave him the pitch to come on with me and do it together. You know, co-hosts, no one's above another. But, you know, we just known each other for a long time. We've done several, like, guest spots on each other's shows. We've done shows together. We've worked on content together. We interact on Twitter pretty often. We text, you know, like, he's one of my best friends in this industry for sure. Love Hutch. He's a great guy, and he's a very bright future. And it just made sense for both of us to have a co-host, to have somebody to push each other. He's done a great job of pushing me to be better every single episode. He's always on time. He's always consistent. He always has great ideas to bring to the table. He's always prepared. And to have someone like that, not only in my corner, but as a co-host and somebody to work with and alongside is really awesome. I'm really proud of what we do. And I think, again, there's levels to this ship. We're still in the early days of getting it better. But I think that we definitely will be doing the show for a long time, I hope. I really, really hope so. That's the plan. You know, we're good friends. I think we have good conversation. And I feel like if we can get the roots of the production better and just work on marketing the show better, I think it definitely has legs long term, hopefully.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys interact because you can tell that you guys get along, that you guys are friends. And sometimes you watch or listen to podcasts and you're like, these hosts don't even sound like they like each other. So it's really a great thing to see. And he was on the show before, and right when he was first starting out, it's great to see all of your stories, how you're growing and continue to grow. I feel like a little proud mama over you. But
hey, listen, that's great, man. I love it. Hutch is the best. He really is. I love that guy.
So, okay, what do you like to do in your free time? I know, what do you do in your free time? I know
I'm a huge gamer. I love playing video games. I have my Xbox sitting right next to me. That's what I do to unwind. When I'm not playing or not making content, not working, what you'll really catch me, this is so like Gen Z, like young person brain of me, like my brain is like being put in a microwave and just like melting, is I like to have this laptop over to the left over here, and I have my TV right here, and I like to play video games on mute. Like I'll play like Madden or FIFA or something, or like on mute or like at a low volume, and I'll have my laptop right here, and I'll have like YouTube videos or a show I'm binge watching or a podcast like this on right here, and I'll like listen to that and like kind of like look over at that, and I'll be playing over here, and that's just kind of how I unwind. And occasionally I'll like watch movies and stuff, and you know, I mean, obviously if I was back home in Cincinnati, I would hang out with my girlfriend. I love spending time with her. You know, long distance boyfriend duties, of course, we FaceTime a lot, stuff like that, you know. But it's been a really good way to connect with my friends too back home on Xbox. You know, we get an Xbox party, we talk, play Madden for hours, play FIFA for hours, and just kind of shoot the shit, have a good time. That's been great for me. It really has. So, and you know, I've also been getting closer to my coworkers out here. You know, I'll go out to eat, hang over, just go out to people's apartments and hang out. Like I said, I'm not a big partier. You're not going to catch me going out to bars very often. But, you know, I love hanging out with my friends. I love playing video games. Just kind of hanging out, you know. And I also do just love consuming football content. Like, even if I'm not posting, I'll scroll Twitter for hours Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. Those are like my holy trinity. You know what I mean? You'll catch me on those 90% of my day when I'm not at work.
I really got to get on this TikTok stuff. God, it makes me.
Okay, well, this is a great time to have this conversation. Do you okay. use TikTok?
Do I use it? I have it, but I don't use it.
You should.
Okay.
You should. And here's why. I feel like the sell with people on TikTok is like, you okay. open it for the first time and it's none of the stuff you want to see, right? But you have to give it time because it'll get to know you and what you like and what kind of content you like. If you have things you want, like if you want fantasy football, I would recommend just like searching fantasy football and liking a few videos and watching them. But you'll keep getting served that content. It's just if you don't like it, you don't like it. But I just recommend giving it a deeper go if you're interested yeah. in the idea of it at least.
Yeah, I'll have to like really get it because my friend sends me videos all the time from TikTok. And when I didn't have it, I was like, I can't see it. I don't know. Like, well, I go search for it on YouTube. And then... right.
Well, what I want to know about you, too, is do you like short form content? Like, do you watch like Facebook Reels or Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts or anything like that? Or no?
See, no. That's probably.
Well, maybe it's just not your thing. Maybe
it's just not my thing. Yeah.
Well, that's maybe. Fine. I was giving the pitch because, like, I know a lot of people are like big on like IG Reels, for example, mm-hmm. which is basically just TikTok. I'm like, just TikTok. It's better. It's just like the same, but better. But people are like, no, like my algorithms. You know, that's what I was giving the pitch for. But I will say too, you should post podcast clips on there if you're interested in doing that too.
I've been thinking about it. It's a great way to grow.
Yeah, TikTok, again, if anyone from the industry is out here listening to this, we're almost an hour in. I don't know how it's going to get trimmed, but I strongly advocate for creators to use TikTok. I don't use it as much. I'm a hypocrite because I don't have as much time as I would like to make TikTok videos. But if Twitter died tomorrow, you would find me on TikTok 100%. The reason I love it is because like Twitter, it's one of the few platforms where you can organically reach new eyeballs. Every single video you post hits new eyeballs. Dude, you can literally make a TikTok account with zero followers and post and hit a million views and like 100,000 likes on your first post. It happens all the time. You know what I mean? And for creators, that's a super powerful tool. You know what I mean? Every single video you post, followers mean something on TikTok, sure, but not that much. It's not like Twitter where like, oh, you have 50,000 followers. Oh, you have a huge audience. You probably get consistent high engagement. It's not like that. You have to get on people's feeds. You have to get it in their algorithm. And every single post you make is like an individual event. It is the best platform for businesses and creators to grow on organically for free. Highly recommend. Just vouch for
I'm
anyone.
Taking notes. So
hey, love it. Seriously, I promise I'm not saying you have to at all, but if you ever want to talk shop more about social stuff, hit me up anytime.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I put a TikTok out when I don't know, all my friends were doing some TikTok trend and I put one out and I got like 700 views on it. I was like, oh my God, 700 views on a TikTok and it's my great. Only one.
That's great. Seriously. I mean, that's the thing that's so awesome about TikTok. It's like, as long as you use the right hashtags and stuff, like you're popping off. You know what I mean? It's so fun. I love it. It's really, really great. So yeah, I recommend it for sure. Get yourself out there. Make some takes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been trying to take 5 minutes every day and post a video the last couple of days because it doesn't take that long. It's just also, I should mention, my mom will probably listen to this episode. I want to give her a shout out. She has 250,000 followers on TikTok. She's big time Hollywood.
That is big time Hollywood. Because,
yeah. Love you, mom. She owns a travel agency. Her and my dad own a travel agency and she makes travel TikToks. So that's kind of her little niche there, but yeah, shout out to mom. She's sometimes she doesn't even know how to find the Bluetooth on her phone, but damn it, she makes TikTok videos great. And that's all that matters, folks.
Okay, well, I can't do that sometimes either, so maybe your mom's an inspiration.
You can
for
do
me.
It. I believe in you.
So do you still do box breaks? Because I know you were doing that for a while.
Okay, that's some deep diving. I feel like I'm on Nardwar or something. Let's go. I do love sports cards. I actually have a collection like right underneath my bed right here. Yeah.
This will be a TikTok exclusive. I'll post this clip on TikTok so everybody can see what he's showing me.
I know you can't see anyone listening.
We'll put it on TikTok.
I have my whole collection in this box right here. And I have like here, just for example, right here. Here's a Zay Flowers rookie.
Wow.
And here's a Will Levis. And like, you know what I mean? Like I have a whole shoebox right here. I have some stuff. Oh my God. This is Battle Scars right here. Trey Lance rookie autograph.
Oh wow.
Got I love this one. I just got this in the mail. I got Bijan autograph.
That's cool.
I love card collecting. I love it so much. I haven't really done, but to answer your question, sorry, I got distracted. I'm like, I don't really have diagnosed ADHD. Let's be honest here. I'm like a squirrel, like all over the place kind of guy. But anyways, to answer your question, sorry. Box breaks. I don't really do them anymore because I don't really have the time to go find retail boxes. Are you a card collector? Are you savvy or no?
No, but I watched a lot of videos during the pandemic of people opening cards, and it kind of just got
me. It's so fun.
Yeah, it got me. I was like, this is so cool. And they're like, oh, this card's not worth anything. And I was like, that's the coolest looking card I've ever seen. So I don't know.
Yeah, I've kind of become that way too, unfortunately. Like once you open so many, you're like, yeah, this isn't worth anything. No, but I love it. The thing I really got into was, I think it was like the winter of 2021, the fall of 2021, during the 2020-2021 NFL season. That's when NFL Prism rookie cards released, which is like one of the biggest sets for Panini. And that set will always have a special place in my heart because it was like Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert rookie cards, Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love and Tua and all those guys. And such a good class. And I loved collecting them. But what I quickly realized was, actually, again, Dynasty Price, Garrett on Twitter, he DM'd me because I didn't know what I was doing, but I was starting to get back into sports cards because I really like them. And I found two boxes of blaster boxes. They're called for $20. You can get them at Target or Walmart or whatever. They're like this big. They're vertical, like rectangles. And I said this big. There's no video. I'm so stupid. But you can – I got those.
Use your imagination, guys.
Use your imagination how big they were. They're $20 retail price. But you can flip those on eBay for like $175, like when they first came out. Like unbelievable amounts of money. And I was like, I'm going to rip them anyway because I don't know if I'll be able to find them again. But – that kind of sparked the realization of me like, oh, you can make a little bit of money doing this. And it's really fun. But yeah, so I started doing some card box breaks. I would get retail boxes at the stores for retail price. And I would, mark them up a little bit and do, team breaks where you could get in and be like, oh, I want the AFC North in this break. It's like $30 for the entry for like four boxes. $30 gets you the AFC North. So any Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, or Browns cards, you get them. So fun. I love doing the stream and opening the cards and, sending them out to people in the mail. And it was nice. I made a little bit of money doing it and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And I started doing it at a higher level with some people I met at Target one day, or sorry, at Meijer one day. For anyone out there who's a card collector, there's an app called Whatnot, It's like a black and yellow app. And over on there, there's a cards channel, a sports card channel that I started. It's in my name. It's the channel is called Hooked on Cards. Keeping like the Hooked on Fantasy thing, it's Hooked on Cards. And I don't even run it anymore. I was, when the streams first started, I was the only card breaker. I was the only one on stream opening the packs and selling the teams and doing everything, but I wasn't available enough. I was a college student. I was busy. And the people who were running it with me, who were like supplying me boxes, they were paying me to be the breaker and be on camera and, be like the face of the brand. I couldn't do it anymore. So now they do it without me. They do it like full time. The channel is up to like over 40,000 followers, I think. They stream like every single day doing breaks and stuff. Pretty high end stuff too. So if anyone's interested, go check it out. I'm not really that involved anymore, but I know the people running it and they're good people. So if anyone's out there looking for sports cards, go check it out.
And bringing up Hooked, because you have such a cool last name that you can work it into all the fun stuff.
I have to, dude. I feel obligated to. You know what I mean? my AP Gov teacher in high school one time told me I had like the greatest middle linebacker last name of all time. And I was like, I appreciate that. Thank you. No, but seriously, thank you. I appreciate it. I really do like my last name. The story behind it is when I think my great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather came over from Ukraine. I'm a little Ukrainian boy. My last name was Shuchuk. I believe it was spelled Shewchuk. And we got the Ellis Island treatment. For those who aren't familiar, a lot of immigrants who didn't really have very American-friendly like last names or names, they kind of Americanized them. So that's where it became Sawhook. And it kind of stuck from there. And I also really like my last name because there's not a lot of Sawhooks in the world. You know what I mean? Like there's like my family, like a big family. And then there's like a small batch of them down in Florida that I don't know who they are really, but it's just interesting. You know what I mean? But I appreciate that. Thank you for mentioning it.
Yeah, for sure. I just, the Hooked on part, it just, It works so well. So you're lucky that you were able to
Shout out to whoever, some random person in my Twitter comments gave me the idea with that like 2 years ago. And I just like completely stole it and ran with it. So shout out to whoever that was.
Shout out all the shout outs. Okay. Well, Luke, there is probably so much more I could talk to you about. We'll have to do a second episode. I haven't had anybody else come back, but I might start grabbing some people that I want to pick their brains.
I feel like I need to interview you now. Like, I feel like I did so much talking. Like, I almost feel
bad. I wanted you to do the talking. You gave me so much information. I'm sure that you helped out a lot of people. And I'm sure that people who don't know who you are will now know who you are and go give you a follow. But can you go ahead and just let everyone that's listening know what you have going on and where they can find all your stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you can find all my personal content I put out on at Luke Sawhook. Luke Sawhook, the two metal things. All lowercase on Twitter is where I live. That's like my home. I post on there probably too much, if we're being honest. You'll see a lot about my life. My life is pretty much an open book on there. You can find me on TikTok at Luke Sawhook as well for some NFL content I'm trying to cook up over there. If you want to follow me on Instagram, see more of my personal life, go for it. There's not a lot of football over there, but you can go check that out too. It's public. I'm doing a lot of work with High Point Personal Corner. More stuff coming over there. We're a little quiet right now, trying to kind of, you know, reevaluate after the season, take a step back, take a deep breath, reevaluate our team and everything. But we're going to get full steam ahead going into 2024. We had so many changes happen. In case you don't even understand, dude, like I joined that team in the end of May, the beginning of June. And the company when I joined compared to where it's at now, it's like, it's a completely different company. Like I cannot wait to have a full season to plan all the content and everything. We did all of it on the fly this past year. High Point was an idea that came up in like week six. You know what I mean? Like it was out of nowhere, you know, like not out of nowhere. Like Des has had these ideas for a long time, you know, like they were thought out, but we implemented them on the fly. And it's just a huge testament to our team and everyone that we had working with. Everybody from that team, shout out to you guys. You are all phenomenal people. But I'm very excited for what's going on over there. And then also, if you're a Yankees fan, if you're a baseball fan, if you want to just check out my work I'm doing in social media, go head over to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you get your content. Look up Hudson Valley Renegades. Our at on all of our socials is at HV Renegades. We do some fun stuff. I'm really proud of the work we do. We're one of the best in our league and high A minor league baseball. We consistently perform at the top of the teams, and we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of really fun, creative things. Celebrate a lot of national holidays. For example, it was National Croissant Day a couple weeks ago. So I went to the store, we got croissants, and we played croissant baseball. We hit baseball bats on croissants. It was great. Baseball croissant home run derby. So if you want fun stuff like that, go check it out over there. But that's pretty much all I got cooking right now. But thank you so much for having me. Seriously, this is a pleasure.
No, I appreciate you coming on this show. It was so awesome to get to hear your story because I didn't know a whole lot, and now I know. I feel like I'm prepared for this world now because you gave me so much. And TikTok, I definitely have to go check out. I will go check out TikTok. But everybody that's listening needs to go check out Luke's work. Go follow Luke. Go tell him you listened to this episode. Give him his props. And everyone that's listening, make sure you come back next week for another episode of Get Real. Yes, come back, please, for another episode of Get Real with Casey Kasem. And remember to stay rad.
Get real. Time to get real, everybody.